Good morning. My name is Matthew, and I'll be your conference operator today. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Cronos Group and Ginkgo Bioworks Landmark Partnership Call. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Anna Slimak, Investor Relations and Communications. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Matthew, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us on such short notice to discuss the landmark partnership between Cronos Group and Ginkgo Bioworks. Our press release was issued at 7 a.m. this morning and is available on our website at www.thecronosgroup.com under Investor Relations. Today's call is also being webcast, and the webcast is available on our website. After the call, we will post a replay and a transcript of today's remarks onto our website. We will be speaking to slides, which can be viewed via the webcast, and those slides will also be available on our website after the call. Joining me today is Mike Gorenstein, Chairman, President, and CEO of Cronos Group, as well as Jason Kelly, co-founder and CEO of Ginkgo Bioworks. After the forward-looking statements, Mike will kick off our call, followed by Jason, and then, of course, we'll be happy to take questions. Before I turn the call over to Mike, I would like to remind you that our discussion during this conference call will include forward-looking statements that are based on assumptions that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those projected in the forward-looking statements. Management can give no assurance that any forward-looking statement will prove to be correct. Forward-looking statements during this call speak only as of the original date of this call, and we undertake no obligations to update or revise any of these statements, except as required by applicable law. Management refers you to cautionary statements and risk factors included in the company's disclosure. So with that, let me turn the call over to Mike, and we'll get started.
Thanks, Anna, and welcome, everyone. I hope everyone had a great long weekend, and just want to jump in and start explaining why we're so excited about our new partnership with Ginkgo. So as an overview of what the cannabis industry is today, we really think of cannabinoids. So it's the active ingredient inside cannabis that gives you the different effects and therapeutic benefits, and ultimately that is used to make value-add products. When you're growing out a plant and you're focusing on extracting and purifying, that is quite time-intensive, it's space-intensive, and it's, of course, expensive. And you know, some of these cannabinoids are very, very rare. Right now, really what you're seeing present in the plant is THC and CBD, but different cannabinoids like CBC, THCV, CBDV, CBCV, they're present in less than 1%. So the actual cost is extremely expensive. Now, when we think of where things go tomorrow, as we start transitioning from what's mainly a flower market into a market that has other products like beverages, edibles, capsules, tinctures, the focus is going to start shifting to what are the cannabinoids, what are the costs of the cannabinoids. And by using biosynthesis and the technology that Ginkgo has on their platform, we're able to reduce the cost of those cannabinoids, and we're able to scale exponentially. So you know, this platform really allows us to, at a fraction of the cost and a commercial scale and higher purity, produce those cannabinoids without having to use the same amount of CapEx each time we move to a new jurisdiction to actually build out a greenhouse or an indoor production facility and an extraction facility. We can go and find a pharmaceutical contract manufacturer or a brewery, and that's the infrastructure we'd be able to leverage to actually produce the cannabinoids. So just an illustration here, you know, as you start thinking about comparing cost per gram versus cost of the actual cannabinoid, the percentages that you have in the flower is very important. So on the right on this slide, what we're illustrating is for THCV or for CBCV, anything that's less than 1%, the actual cost in terms of flower of purified cannabinoids is so high it is nearly impossible to produce. And there's really four different factors that you should be thinking of when you're looking at what is the cost of a pure cannabinoid and you're modeling this out. And you can tinker and use your own assumptions. But essentially, if you're looking at THC, which is the most common cannabinoid people focus on, let's assume that you can grow at a cost of $1 a gram. You have great genetics and you're very consistent and you're growing 20% THC. You have an amazing extraction methodology that actually yields 100% of the cannabinoids, and it costs you zero to extract. In that scenario, it would still cost you $5,000 a kilogram to get the THC. Now, when you start thinking of rare cannabinoids, where maybe it's 1% THCV, you can understand how the cost becomes exponentially greater. So I think now we'll turn it over to Jason to explain Ginkgo, who they are, and their platform, and how we'll work together to be able to achieve cultured cannabinoids.
Thanks, Mike. This is Jason Kelly. I'm the co-founder and CEO here at Ginkgo Bioworks. Mike gave a little bit of a picture of how we're going to work together, but just to give a little, like an ounce of technical background, what Ginkgo really does is we design and print DNA. And if you look inside any cell, so Mike brought up like brewer's yeast, for example, the yeast that makes beer. Inside that cell is a piece of DNA, which is basically like a digital code that runs that cell. It's almost like a computer running software. And what Ginkgo does is we have about 100,000 square foot facility here in Boston where we can design and print new pieces of DNA, put them into cells like brewer's yeast, and then get those cells to do new things. So to give you an example, we've now for several years been working in the flavor and fragrance industry, where we work on a problem relatively similar to what we're talking about doing here with Kronos, where we take, for example, today you would get rose oil from rose petals or citrus oil from citrus peel. We would take the genes from, say, that citrus plant that encode the production of the oil. We move them into brewer's yeast, and then when you brew it up, instead of beer coming out, citrus oil comes out, or rose oil comes out. And it comes out at a lower cost of goods, more stable supply, it's not variable with the weather, and a totally different sort of overall kind of CapEx and production infrastructure cost. So just a little bit of background on Ginkgo. We closed about $275 million fundraise in December, bring our sort of total fundraising over the last 4 years to about $430 million. We've used that to essentially build out, like I mentioned, about 100,000 square foot facility here in Boston that essentially automates the work that I did while I was back doing my PhD in bioengineering and sort of moves that onto robotics and brings the cost down dramatically. And we've used that, if you go to the next slide, to work with now a range of different partners. So Ginkgo's business model is really to be a technology platform that engages really industry leaders in different verticals. So we've worked with Cargill, ADM, we work with Bayer, announcing a $100 million joint venture last October in agriculture, and so just a really range of different markets, and in all cases, we're trying to find really the industry-leading partner who kind of shares our vision about the power of biotechnology to be disruptive in a space, and we really saw Kronos is the ideal partner in the cannabinoid in the cannabis space, just given their sort of long-term vision and focus on really the quality and purity of the product over the long run, and getting that cost down for a really pure product as the key to winning in the market. We agree with that, and it's a great fit for our technology. So couldn't be more excited to be working with you on this, Mike.
Thanks, Jason, and certainly same here. We've been looking for really a solution, a partner, for nearly 2 years now, and we really haven't found anything that's come close to comparing to Ginkgo. We were blown away on our first visit. I think we'll dive in just to how this partnership is structured and really what we're targeting specifically. So we've put out a chart here of of how the different cannabinoids actually come through the precursors. And really there's 8 major cannabinoids that we're looking at. I'd say 6 of them are quite rare. But CBG, THC, CBD, CBC, CBGV, THCV, CBDV, and CBCV. And when you're seeing these with an A next to them, that's actually what is ultimately produced but we then decarboxylate it or heat it to activate and get to the, you know, the end compound people think of. So when you're growing it in a plant, THC comes out, you're then heating or decarboxylating to get to THC. It would be no different here. Then if we dive in how this will work and what the cost targets are, one of the things that, you know, we're very confident in the economics, we've laid, so we'll actually fund and reimburse for certain R&D costs up to approximately $22 million. And then the equity is actually split out. So once we're able to produce at a certain minimum amount, certain minimum threshold, each cannabinoid at less than $1,000 a kilo, then the equity is released. And you can see on your screen here a chart where we're showing the percentage of the total shares that we've allocated and how those ultimately are issued. So it's 20% for THC, 15% on CBD, 10% for CBC, CBG, THCV, CBGV, CBDV, and CBCV. And I think, you know, one of the reasons, again, that we're so excited here is product differentiation. While everyone will be focusing on THC and CBD, a few years ago, you think no one really talked about CBD or knew about it, something that almost was, it was different. This really unlocks our ability to treat different therapeutic areas, to provide and differentiate on psychoactive effects, so we can actually build products that target different use occasions and different actual effects. And I think that for us is the holy grail. That's where we see our brands heading. And, you know, being able to do that and produce those cannabinoids at less than $1,000 a kilo is really something that will allow us to make sure we're not just focusing on top line, but also on bottom line. So in summary, biosynthesis we view as a potentially disruptive and cost-effective means to produce cannabinoids at a commercially viable scale with really limited CapEx. We believe we've created a premier partnership here that's uniquely equipped to create the cultured cannabinoids. There are 8 target cannabinoids that will be produced via industrial fermentation, and the equity is distributed based off of the previously outlined allocations once you're able to produce for less than $1,000 a kilo. And I'm happy to report, if you look through the Cannabis Act in Canada, that this method of production is allowed, and all of these cannabinoids that we are targeting are cannabinoids that are found inside of the plant. They are the same exact molecules. It's not a synthetic analog. These are phytocannabinoids. So with that, I think we could kick it over to any questions.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Martin Landry with GMP Securities. Your line is open.
Hi. Good morning. My first question is, has Ginkgo already started to work on cannabinoids, or this is going to be a go-forward venture?
Yeah, Mike, you want me to talk a little bit about some of the how we can reuse technology across projects?
Yeah, I think that'd be great. Maybe even starting with kind of terpenes and overall explaining where we are in terms of the biosynthetic pathways.
Sure.
That's probably helpful.
Yeah. Thanks for the question, Martin. So we're sort of launching into this area in partnership with Cronos. We haven't been doing a lot of activity there previously. However, if you look at how biology works, there's a lot of kind of code reuse, right? Because if you think about organisms descending from other organisms, they sort of share DNA code. And so a lot of the projects we've done, for example, projects in the flavor and fragrance industry and other areas, have worked on molecules that are similar to these. And so we'll be able to reuse some code from previous projects to make this project easier. And so we're able to start not really at the starting line. We're sort of further along than that, even though this will be really our entry into this market through the partnership with Cronos. So we don't have to start from scratch, but we're excited to really be launching it and getting into the details of this with Cronos now.
Okay. And then my next question is, in terms of timing, you know, given that you're not starting from scratch, how long do you think it could take you guys to succeed at hitting the first milestone, for instance?
Yeah. So again, it ends up varying a bit depending on which target we're talking about. I think we have sort of internal metrics around this around about 3 years. However, we've also done projects at Ginkgo that get done as sort of in as short a time as sort of 6 to 12 months. It a little bit depends on how the technology shakes out. But yeah, there's definitely some range there.
Okay. So around 3 years would take you around 3 years to hit the first milestone, correct?
I'm not sure if it's the first milestone. Mike could maybe speak to that better, but just in terms of kind of getting it out the door.
I think when we think of those milestones, it's the expectation, the way we've done the technical development plans, we would think within, you know, we would have all of the different cannabinoids past the scale we're able to start using them at a commercial scale up and you know, industrial fermentation level at 3 years. So we are doing these all in parallel, given the way that Ginkgo's technology platform works. We have that type of bandwidth and capacity. But 3 years is sort of contemplates the 8 different cannabinoids. And, you know, there are milestones along the way, but when we think of the actual equity milestones you're talking about, not the technical development milestones, we expect that within 3 years they would be hit.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Matt Bottomley with Canaccord Genuity. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Just a quick question on my end. Maybe a quick background on exactly what, you know, THCV or CBGV might actually do from an indication standpoint. I'm hearing a lot of different things when I look at the market in terms of potential cannabis products that might be appetite suppressants or other indications that aren't typically, you know, right down Main Street when it comes to, you know, a psychoactive impact or what CBD does for most medical patients. Are there things that you're targeting when it comes to those indications with these cannabinoid profiles with the 8 specific you outlined?
Sure, thanks. That's a great question. Yeah, I think THCV, that's certainly what, you know, from a recreational or adult use perspective, people are excited about is the appetite suppressant. I think it also can be used, and there's research that's shown strong anti-inflammatory properties. CBC, CBCV, you know, we look at as filling the NSAID bucket, so you know, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs we're very excited about. Another thing that's important here is it's not necessarily just the isolated cannabinoids. It's the combination of the cannabinoids with each other. They do modulate each other. So, you know, one of the things that we use is the plant as a blueprint to, you know, come up with these cannabinoid recipes or cocktails, if you will. And, you know, terpenes, while they may not on their own be psychoactive, they do affect the way that you actually absorb and sort of take in the other cannabinoids. So it's really a combination of all of these. You know, you will see more research and you'll see more details from us, you know, during the term of the partnership, where we'll be able to start explaining, you know, ultimately which products we plan on launching. I don't think we're ready to exactly nail down each one, but this is meant for us to not only go after our own, you know, our own products, but also be able to, through partnerships, provide these APIs to others.
Okay, great. And then maybe just the last question for me. What's your view on the overall competitive landscape for this globally? Whether it's, I know there's a lot of technology in Israel, but even, you know, other Canadian LPs are starting to have partnerships, nothing like this that I've seen, but what's your overall view on where the global cannabis industry is with respect to this type of research and formulation?
Yeah, that's another great question. We've been looking for quite some time and, you know, we've seen, I think, startups that are specific to this, and, you know, I think it's a big difference when you've got companies that are starting off with 2 or 3 scientists that are looking to rent lab space and, you know, maybe be able to get in a wet lab after a year or two that raise $5 or $10 million. I think it's a lot different than what we've seen with Ginkgo, where they're starting off. The analogy I've given is it's like if this is a marathon or a foot race, Ginkgo is essentially showing up with a Formula One race car. And I think it's helpful for maybe if Jason goes in, I think a little bit of kind of where they are and how that technology compares to others and how much faster they can accelerate. But the fact they do have this metagenomic code base that they can search through all of these different enzymes in nature, it does move things up quite a bit. And we just haven't really seen something that would be anywhere close to competitive. And we've been diligencing it for nearly 2 years.
Okay, thanks again.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jason.
Yeah, I can add just a little bit there. Yeah, I think what people don't realize the sort of state of the art when it comes to like programming cells today is really to do it by hand, right? So you basically have, and I know this, right? I spent 5 years at MIT doing this myself, right? It's a scientist working at a lab bench in a lab coat, sort of moving liquids around and doing lab experiments. And what we've done at Ginkgo is really standardized all that, wrapped it in software. About a quarter of the team here are software developers, and we moved it all onto robotics. And so we see a real scale economic. Our facility runs more like a semiconductor fab than a biology lab. And so we've gone up about 25x in total capacity with a 10x improvement in efficiency over the last couple years. Now doing, to give you a sense of the amount of DNA we're printing, when I was in grad school, I probably designed about 50,000 letters of DNA, base pairs of DNA. We're now doing about 50 million base pairs a month. It puts us at about, we think, probably about 30 to 40% of worldwide DNA printing is designed here at Ginkgo. So we're just sort of having this effect. It's almost like when the semiconductor industry came online and electronics and a lot of that activity centralized. We're hoping to see a similar effect in biotech and are starting to see that as more and more people are partnering and building on the platform. And so that's really what Mike's referring to there is we can put a lot more effort behind it due to the automation here compared to what would be happening at competitors, which is really scientists at lab benches.
Yeah, I think really what we saw is in 1 month, as Jason's alluded to, we think that Ginkgo can make more progress than, other companies you've seen would be able to make in 10 years. Just in sheer volume of even strain tests.
It's been very inefficient previously. I'd say it's fair.
And our next question comes from the line of Martin Landry with GMP Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, just a follow-up question. Mike, you're going to have the exclusive rights to commercialize the IP. I'm just wondering, will you pay? Is there going to be royalties that you'll have to pay back to Ginkgo on these sales, or not at all?
No, the royalty is essentially embedded in the equity. So rather than having an actual royalty for using it, and we think it'd be very difficult to track given all the ways we plan on using this. Ginkgo participates as a true and full partner in Kronos, and that was the thinking in equity. I think even beyond this, there's a lot of other things that we can collaborate with Ginkgo on and with Ginkgo's network, and having, I think having them as an equity partner is very important to us. And I think, when we brought them in and shared our vision, we aligned very well. So we focused more on equity than trying to have some type of royalty structure. So it's really, it's really that they're a true owner.
Okay. And are the shares locked up for a certain amount of time when Ginkgo gets them, or not at all?
No, we haven't really put any type of lockup mechanism. There may be some customary, for security laws or tax reasons, but it's not thought of as restrictions. Really, we looked at it, and we would expect, I think, if you're in Ginkgo's seat, knowing that we're able to commercialize these products, they're welcome to make whatever decision they want, but we expect this is extremely disruptive and accretive, and I think that's the reason they chose equity over cash or royalty.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll echo that. Yeah, we were really excited by that alignment, and to us it makes sense. and it makes it easier for us to sort of find many more ways to work together in the future if we can really be an owner. So we like this model as a way to create value for us as well.
Okay. Thank you. Well done.
Thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the call back over to you.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining. I appreciate you taking the time. And everyone have a good week.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.